Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, you can do much, much better than that. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, join me on your feet just for a moment. Can you hear me? Yeah. Amen. Join me on your feet just for a moment. We're going to pray. Just so excited. Just want to bless this moment. Every time I'm in the presence of believers, I just feel like something exciting is going to happen. Amen. 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 Anybody ever come just excited to be with the believers and the body of Christ? I need a few more of y'all to smile at me. Y'all looking a little rough tonight. Come on. Let me know that you're excited to be in the presence of the people of God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray. Eternal God, we thank you. We praise you tonight. Lord God, we lift you. We honor you, Lord God. We stand in this place as testaments of your power, of your mercy, of your grace, and of your faithfulness. God, we are not here of our own, Lord God, but it is your power that has kept us and preserved us, even saved us from ourselves. And so tonight, God, we come with grateful hearts, Lord God, open minds, Lord God, ready to receive that which you want to impart to us. Now, I pray a special blessing on every life here tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the people that have gathered. Thank you for this great fellowship, Lord God. Thank you for the Cayman Islands, God. My God, what a beautiful place. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the people that abide here, Lord God. Let the witness of your church go abroad, Lord God, in ways we could never imagine. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, now lift your voice and give God a praise. Come on, let's magnify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can have your seats tonight. We are just so excited, as I said before, just to be with all of you. Today I had the privilege, me and my wife had the privilege of going and spending some time at the Pagueras house with a few other pastors, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. I had no idea how funny Pastor Rose and his wife are. I mean, I was delighted just to have a few moments to sit. I said, if you never invite me back to preach, I'm coming back to hang out with y'all. The funniest people on this island, Pastor Rose, just Pastor Rose and Sister Rose, Pastor Pagueras, just wonderful, wonderful people, just so grateful to be with you. And the conversation just kind of spun out of control into all this health information, and they were telling us about how to eat right and what not to eat and what to eat. And so they talked, and every time, you know, the longer the conversation went, the more disappointed I was. Found out I couldn't eat cheese, I couldn't eat meat, I couldn't eat this, couldn't eat that, and then Pastor Pagueras started bringing out all sorts of nuts and oats and barley and roots. She brought in, I said, like a farmer's market in here. She just kept bringing in stuff every time. And so we would talk, and every time we talked, she'd walk out the room and come back in with a tree, just a new branch or something. It was amazing. And so me and my wife heeded those wise words, and on the way here, stopped at Duke's Rib Shack and had us some spare ribs. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give God praise for baby back ribs. Give God praise for baby back ribs. Hallelujah. I figured they'd have convicted me so much when I get back home, I'm going to try to live right. But while I'm here, I'm kind of partly on vacation, so I'm going to have me some ribs. I'm going to have some tomorrow, too. You think I'm playing? My God. And then we get back home, we'll plant all the seeds you gave us. We'll plant all those seeds in our garden and have us all kind of crazy fruit trees that you got out here. But it was just such a blessed time, and I can't say enough how delighted I am just to be with all of you. We just praise God for you, and I just sense so strongly, it just in the spirit as it relates to this fellowship, there's something new the Spirit of God wants to do. I just feel that so strongly, and just as I begin to prepare for these conversations, it seems as though the Spirit of God is kind of leading me in a very specific way. And while, yes, we're talking about faith, I believe we're talking about faith for new things, and I just feel like Spirit of God wants to do something new. Word of God says, behold, I do a new thing. Shall ye not know it? Wouldn't it be a horrible thing that the Lord does something new and we miss it? That we're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. He does something new and we're so busy doing or abiding in the last thing he did that we can't catch the new thing that he's doing. That's a scary thought. My God. It's a scary thought to think that we serve and to know that we serve a progressive God, a God that is dynamic, a God that is not static, but it is constantly moving and shifting and transitioning. And while we serve a God that does not change, here's the truth. There's stuff about him he hasn't shown you yet. I think about 70 of y'all caught what I said when I said that. Yes, we serve a God that does not change, but there are things about himself he just hasn't shown you yet. And there are things that he wants to do that he hasn't done yet in the earth. Amen. I believe from the bottom of my heart, there's some new things the Spirit of God wants to do. So when we're talking about faith that works, we're going to talk tonight about faith to be the first. Faith to be the first. It takes faith to be the first. It takes faith to step out into an area that is unfamiliar. It takes faith to move into a territory that has not been embarked upon yet. It takes faith to make transitions where you have not seen predecessors make those transitions. It takes faith to be unprecedented. It takes faith to defy conventional wisdom. It takes faith to do stuff that mama never did and grandma never did. It takes faith to operate in a dimension that you've never seen anyone do before. There's a story that we hear sometime in the States about the pilgrims as they came to America. The story goes that the pilgrims came, landed in Plymouth Rock, and so they're in that area, and they had come miles and miles and miles to reach the new land, the new world. And as they're there, the founding folk who had kind of forged their way and launched into this new territory decided that they wanted to now raise funds to go about 6 miles deeper into the Americas. And so they got together the council and had a vote to raise funds, to allocate energy and dollars in order to do that. And the story goes that the council and the community voted it down. They voted down going 6 miles deeper. So they had enough faith to cross the waters, but didn't have enough faith for 6 more miles. And that's so true about many of us in the body of Christ. We have faith to do amazing things, but then when God calls for just a little bit more, sometimes it becomes difficult. I think about the stories of D.S. Warner and H.M. Riggle and these individuals who launched out and did some amazing things. In fact, if you've ever read, H.M. Riggle has a great book, I think it's called Pioneer Evangelism or Pioneer, something I read it several months ago. But he talks about how whenever D.S. Warner and those folk in the original caravans would come to town, it'd be a great commotion because they'd be in the caravan singing and praising and shouting, and it would just tear up stuff. In fact, so much so, when they would have their revivals, they believed specifically in the supernatural. I mean, they operated in miracles and signs and wonders. They even said of D.S. Warner that there was a man whose wife had lost her mind, and so the husband came to one of the camp meetings and asked for prayer, and D.S. Warner prayed for a handkerchief and told him to take that handkerchief back and lay it on the head of his insane wife. Several months, maybe even a year later, that woman came to the service, and she stood before him healed and in her right mind because of some really miraculous things that would happen in that time. I pray that we don't lose that edge in the spirit in the church of God. I pray that we don't get so sophisticated and refined that we don't do crazy stuff and move into crazy territory with the Spirit of God. They talk about this preacher once. They said he was preaching so hard. He was preaching so hard that, and it was an old rickety church. And he just preach, and he was just a jumping. Now, if you know and you watch, there's a lot of Church of God preachers all over the country. When they get real excited, they start to jump a little bit. It's kind of like a Church of God thing. They just get to jumping a little bit. My grandmother was like that. She got excited. She had a little jump. She just jumped up and down. It's a Church of God. I don't know where that came from, but just look, we're a singing church and we're a jumping church. Just get to jumping sometime. But this preacher was preaching. He got to jumping, jumped so much he fell through the floor into the basement. And I'm telling you, I read the book. I'm not making this stuff up. Fell through the floor into the basement. Went out of the basement, came up the stairs, came back on the stage, started preaching some more. Just crazy things were happening. There was so much that was happening. We had come, we had done so much. We preached the gospel of full sanctification. We preached to come out of the apostate church. We preached that there was no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. We preached a very progressive message in a time when that message was not as widespread. And these pioneers in the Church of God, These men and women of God who launched out where women had the same rights in the ministry as men did. When we started, black folk and white folk had same standing, equal standing in the church. I mean, the church of God really launched out into some unfamiliar, amazing territory. My prayer is that as those men and women were pioneers in that day, that we too take on that same spirit as the Spirit of God is continuing to move and continuing to speak and continuing to reveal himself and his plan in the earth, that we not be so tied, that we not be so refined and so stuck in religiosity, that we not move with the Spirit of God and walk in the new thing that he's doing. Is there anybody here that hears what I'm saying tonight? Bless the name of Jesus. It's good to know our history, because as we know our history, we understand there are some abiding truths that are important to us today. That as we look at the men and women of old who did extraordinary things for God, that it's not so much that we look to repeat the things that they did, but we search for the same gumption, the same courage, the same strength to apply that to today. As the Spirit of God opens our eyes and reveals to us his plan, that by faith we are as courageous as they were to walk in the fullness of what God has revealed. That makes sense to you? Are you still with me? I'm having a good time. I don't know if you're enjoying this, but I'm enjoying myself. Spirit of God is doing a new thing. Spirit of God, and it takes faith to be first. It takes faith to launch out into territory. Let's go very quickly. I want to show you two things. It's the same thing, but two angles. I want to go to Hebrews 11, and then we're going to jump into Genesis 5. Hebrews 11, and then we're going to jump into Genesis 5. Hebrews 11, and we're going to be in verse 7. In fact, let me start with verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 7. But by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, Noah, being divinely warned, he had a revelation of something that no one had ever seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Let's go to Genesis 5. Let's look in on this story just a little bit. Actually, just go to Genesis 7. I'm sorry. Genesis 6. Here we go. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Faith is judgment. Faith is doing something. Faith does not exist outside of the context of activity. Faith doesn't have activity. Faith is activity. Faith is not belief. Faith is not a sense. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is what you do. You can't call it faith if you won't do something. Are you sensing that? You can't call it faith if you won't do something. When you do something, that's faith. If you have a thought in your mind, a sense to move, that's good, but it's not faith. It becomes faith when there is some corresponding activity, some corresponding conversation, some corresponding endurance. When there is something that happens, that's when it is faith. Are you sensing what I'm saying? Noah did what God told him to do. Noah did something, and I'm just going to challenge you, body of Christ, and Spirit of God is saying to you and I and to the churches all across this world, it's time for us to do something. It's time for us to do something. Word of God says that Noah now is having a conversation with God, and in this conversation, God begins to introduce some topics and ideas that Noah's never heard of before. God says to Noah two things. He says, one, three things. I'm going to destroy the earth, number one. Number two, I want you to build an ark. Number three, because I'm going to send a flood. Now, Noah, number one, had no idea what an ark was. Number two, Noah had no idea what a flood was. God was introducing into their conversation, which I believe was not some weird thing, some off thing. I believe that Noah and God had a relationship where conversations were constantly happening. You can't get that kind of approval from God unless you've got a relationship with the Father. And so based on their, I think, on their common conversation, God begins to introduce some new things. Let me just say to you, body of Christ, as you dig in and deepen your relationship with the Father, he's going to begin to show you some new stuff. He's going to begin to tell you things you've never heard before, show you things you've never seen before, and it's when you are open to it that God can really reveal to you some aspects of himself and his plan to you. But God begins to introduce to Noah this new stuff. He begins to tell Noah, number one, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Number two, Noah, because I'm going to send a flood, and I'm going to wipe out everything, and the only way you're going to be saved is if you build this ark. Now, here's my first point. In the subject of it takes faith to be first, the first thing you have to recognize when you're walking by faith is that sometimes you have to walk by a plan and not a picture. Sometimes in your life, you're going to have to walk by a plan and not by a picture. What do I mean? When it comes to your business, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your churches, there are going to be seasons where God won't be able to point to anything else to explain to you what he's called you to do. I need you to receive that right now. There are going to be seasons in your life that God's going to give you new vision, new ideas, new things that he wants to send you into, things he wants you to accomplish, where he won't be able to point to so-and-so down the street and say, do it like they did it. But he's going to give you a plan. There's going to be a progressively revealed plan, the word of God says, that God begins to explain to him how he wants him to do it. I want you to cut down gopher wood. I want you to get this. I want you to get that. I want you to do this, this tall, this wide, this deep, this many rooms, this many levels, this many doors. Here's how I want you to do it. God is saying this. I'm not going to be able to point to anyone else or anything else for you to do what I've called you to do. You have to work from a plan and not a picture. And sometimes, let's just be honest, it's much more comfortable for us to look at what someone else did to determine what our marching orders are. If someone else succeeded at it, if someone else accomplished it, if someone else has already gone that way, it becomes easier for us to walk in that thing. But God is saying, if you want to walk in what I have for you, the destiny I've placed in your heart, you have to get real comfortable with not having anyone else to point to, no reference point, but you are open to the Spirit of God that as I progressively reveal my plan to you, you'll hearken your ear to my voice and not what you see the person down the street doing. There are too many people, too many churches, and too many businesses, too many families that are looking at someone else to determine what God has called them to do. And God is saying, they can't show you, they can't tell you, my plan for you is specific to you. Now watch this. Here's the next part of that. The reason I can't allow for you to look at them for revelation, because if you look at them for revelation, when it's all said and done, you'll give them the glory for what I'm doing in your life. But when you listen to me and tune your ear to my plan, plan, to my assignment, to my blueprint, when that which I have established comes to fruition, all you can say is, I don't know where I saw before, but the hand of God, the voice of God has been leading me. It's been nothing but the master. It wasn't what this man was doing. It wasn't what that denomination was doing. It wasn't what that group or that country was doing. But I sat myself down at the feet of Jesus. I allowed for him to speak to my heart, and my ways and my steps have been ordered by God, and not what's trending right now, not what's in right now, not what is happening now, not what's in vogue right now, but what the Spirit of God has called me to do. And that applies to everything in your life. When it comes to your businesses, God has given you business ideas, and he's given you nonprofit ideas. He's given you all sorts of things, and you've been trying to look at other places, and you've been Googling stuff, trying to figure out who's done it, who has it, who's tried it, how did it work here, how did it work there? And God is saying, what I've placed down in your belly, you can't find it nowhere else. My God, it's a revelation from glory. It's a new thing I'm establishing in you. I have handcrafted, my God, this vision for your life, your church. My God, some of your churches are on the precipice of doing extraordinary things, and you're terrified because you've never seen anybody succeed doing it before. The churches that tried certain things that are similar have all failed or folded or crashed and burned. There's a little bit of timidity in your heart to launch out into the new thing because you're saying, God, I've never seen it done like that. I've never seen anyone succeed like that. And God is saying in this hour, don't worry about what you've seen. Don't worry about what you have not seen, but focus your attention on me. My God, get in the secret place, turn down your plate and tune your ear into me and watch me give you the plan, the step-by-step plan of my assignment in your life. It's time out for us looking for people and places and things to somehow validate what God has said. My God, he needs no validation. He needs no vindication. When God speaks, that's it. My God, God was looking for someone else to swear by, to establish his covenant. He said, you know what? There's nobody greater than me, so I swear by myself. And God is saying in this hour tonight, he's giving you a dream, a vision, an idea, a plan. He's giving you marching orders, and by faith, you have to take the step. Having not seen anyone succeed yet, you've seen people crash and burn. You've seen all of the downsides, and God is saying, don't worry about what they say about you. Don't worry about what they call you. They may call you a heretic. They may say that you're getting out of bounds. They may say that you're not lined up with doctrine and denomination. Don't worry about their voices. If I've called you, my God, to walk in this thing, keep walking till I tell you to stop. Is there anybody here that's ready to listen to the Lord and the word of God to move into that which God has called you to do? It takes faith to be first. It takes faith to walk in the type of anointing that says, you know what, even if no one agrees or sees what it is that God is saying, I'm going to tune my heart to what God has told me to do. It's hard to do that because so often when you begin to do new things and try things that are a little bit outside of the box, a little progressive, people are very, very terrified by change. They're very terrified by anyone doing anything that hasn't been done before. And so they'll try to reel you in by saying somehow that you've missed God or missed your plan. But let me encourage your body of Christ to humble your hearts and to seek the face of God, that in every season, in every step, your heart's desire is not to be in, it's not to be included, it's not to be called, your name to be, you know, part of the in crowd or the group that's doing it. No, no. Your desire is to do what God told you to do. I was sitting several months ago, I was sitting with Apostle Fred Price. We were having a meeting in his office, and we began to talk about his ministry and his life, and it was amazing to see this man who has an enormous ministry all over the world, and so many preachers and pastors and movements that have come out of his fellowship. And certainly there's a lot to be said about, you know, maybe some disagreements and theologies, but I'll tell you that there are more that we agree on than that we disagree on. I'll just say it like that. But to sit with him and allow him to talk, and he began to talk about how he got ostracized. And as he moved into what he heard God say to him, that it became very difficult. He said, you know what, Jeremy? He said, my friends were my family. See, I didn't have running buddies. I didn't have pastor friends who had me. When I first started and began to move in the revelation that God had given me, I didn't get invited to speak places. I didn't get invited to hang out here or to spend time. He said, but I was so given to what God had shown me that if those friendships would have cost me the plan of God in my life, I was willing to let go of everything else to do what God had told me to do. We talk about faith. Let me just be a little frank for a moment. We talk about faith. Sometimes we're just playing. Sometimes we talk about faith in these rosy shades, and we're people of faith. We've got, you know, the title faith on our walls, and we sing songs of faith. When the going gets tough and the road gets rough and people start challenging us as to what God has shown us, we start turning back. We shrink back from the plan of God. We shrink back from walking. And when it gets difficult, I remember even with us, what we're doing in LA, you know, at First Church, we have a very diverse congregation. But when I first got there, there were a lot of folk who had been there for a long time. And what God had shown me was a bit different than what they had experienced in the past. Even though I helped my father build what they had done, what they had been doing. When my father took over in 1996, I was right there. I've been working in ministry since that day. And every vision he had, every plan he had, everything that God showed him, my job was not to have vision. My job was not to cast vision. My job was not to see things differently. My job was to help build that man's vision. Whatever was in his heart, I stood next to him and I said what he said. If he spoke it, I echoed it. That was my job. That was it. Sometimes we didn't agree. We sat in the office and talked about it. And I said, no, Pop, I see it this way. Doesn't make sense. And he said, that's fine. One time we got into a real heated discussion. And he said, you know what, Jeremy? If I felt that way, I wouldn't be a member of this church. And I went back to my office and did my work. I caught that lesson real quick. But when it was time for me to be at the helm, God had shown me some things. And it was very difficult at certain seasons. Hear what I'm saying. I started back in LA in August of last year. And as we progressively made changes and progressively redirected energies and progressively reallocated funds, it was a bit tense for some people. We went to a more casual style of dress. For the most part, the suit that I wore Sunday, I've only got two of them now. I wore one on Sunday, I may wear the other one on Wednesday, but that's it. I don't wear suits in LA. I pretty much dress like this. My congregation dresses like this because we felt like, and I'm not talking about y'all, I'm talking about us. So don't you walk with my vision. You find what God is saying to you. But we understood for us that if we wanted to reach an unchurched population, we wanted to reach people who did not know God, did not know our traditions, did not know our values, we wanted to bring them in, we had to take some of the things off that were keeping them separated and divided from us. We didn't change our doctrine, we didn't change our values, we still preach holiness, but we learned that holiness was not long dresses, holiness was not wearing makeup, holiness was not having hair. We learned what real holiness was, and we preached that God. We changed some stuff. And I'm going to tell you, I see some face right now kind of turned up a little bit right now. It was worse in L.A. This don't bother me. In L.A., I had a few folks ready to stone me. But I had to do what God was showing. And our church began to grow exponentially. Most churches, when a pastor leaves the way my father left, dying suddenly, immediately experienced a decline in attendance and a decline in financial giving. This year, we went up by 11% in our giving. Went up by 11% in our giving. You ought to praise God for that. Yeah. Attendance has gone up significantly. Because why? Because I was able to walk after the vision that God had shown me. And hear what I'm saying, body of Christ. If I, the same guy being there, would have shrunk back from what God had shown me and done what my father had done, I would not have been as successful as my father was. Because God had shown him that. And so God was going to bless that in him. But God had shown me something different, and I had to walk in what God showed me. And as I stepped out into that, God began to bless my risk and begin to give manifold blessings based on me being willing to step out into some unfamiliar territory. And God is saying to you, maybe you're not a church leader, maybe you're not even in church at all, but you've got a business, you've got something that you're in charge of, or something that God is placing in your heart. You've got this burning desire to do something in some area of life, and you have a little bit of a timid spirit because you've never seen it before. Spirit of God is saying tonight, you got to have faith to be the first. You gotta have faith to walk out and launch out into something that is great because God has ordained it. All right, that's number one. Now here's number two. Number two is that you have to have faith to manage the ugly stage of in between. All right? You've got to have faith to manage the ugly stage of in between. There is always an in-between stage between the voice of God and the fruition of that which God has spoken. There's always a stage between what God has spoken in your heart and God bringing to pass that which he spoke into your heart. There's always a stage, watch this, where nothing makes sense. And let's be honest, and let me give you kind of a practical application. Many of us, not maybe, and I don't want to say this right, Camanians? Camanians? I'm not even gonna try anymore. I don't want to get anybody upset. Y'all, maybe y'all don't have this problem, but American people have this problem. That all of our children and all of us, as they grow up, go through what we call the ugly stage. Where their ears are too big for their face, their nose is too small, their eyes are too big, their lips are too small. There's some, you know, that growing stage where you haven't kind of come into your features yet and everything's trying to catch up. Have you ever seen the kid who's only this tall but his arms as long as his ankles? I mean, it's just the kid that's just trying to, you know, he hit that growth spurt but everything didn't grow at the same time. So his arms are as long as his legs, right? So everyone, you know, from an anatomical, biological standpoint, everyone has this stage in their life where nothing really makes sense. And the same thing in the kingdom of God, as you move into spiritual things, you'll find there will be stages where nothing makes sense. Now, when God says to Noah to build this ark, you have to understand they had never seen anything on that scale before. Now, I'm not going to suggest to you that Noah had never built before. I think he probably did. But I'm sure everything that he had built was probably the size that made sense for their environment. You following what I'm saying? So if he built a boat previously, let's just say he did, I don't know. He probably had the tools that made sense for the size boat that he was going to build. That makes sense. If he built a boat previously, he probably had enough wood for the type and size boat that he would have normally or naturally built. But then God says, I want you to build a big boat. And the type of boat I want you to build, I don't care what tools you currently possess. I don't care how much wood you got stacked up in your backyard. I know some of you got some wood in your backyard. Okay, how much wood you got in your backyard. Nothing that you have right now is going to make sense for what I want you to do then. I need you to sense this. Because sometimes when you hear the voice of God, the first thing you do is take an inventory of what you have to accomplish what God said for you to do. God, this is good to me. My goodness. And you will get discouraged if you don't have faith to believe that just because I don't have now enough to do what God said then doesn't mean that when I need to have it, I won't have it at that point. My God, we were moving to Atlanta, and we were doing some research on what the Spirit of God, on how churches are planted, and we found out that, you know, typically, and based on this research, that, you know, pretty much you need about $67,000. That's what they say, about $67,000 to legitimately plant a church. And so that was discouraging because I had $0 to plant the church. I went to my father and said, hey, Pop, listen. Based on my research, I'm going to need about 65 grand to plant the church. And here, these are his exact words. Good luck. The church had made their commitment to keep me on salary for at least a year. And then we revisit every year until I kind of was self-sufficient. But they did not have any plan to give me any other startup capital. And so at that point, we were just out of luck. But we were still planning, and we're still moving, and we're still going. We were selling our house. You understand what I'm saying? I had no money. We were selling our house. We were having meetings with the little plant group, and we had families moving with us, and folk there that were waiting for us, and all this stuff was going on, all these plans. We didn't have any money. And so We know it was getting closer and closer, I don't know about my wife, but I was getting worried. I was getting a little worried about what we were going to do when we got there. We didn't have any sound equipment. We didn't have a building. We didn't have anything. We didn't have like a rented space, nothing. And I was terrified. A good friend of mine, a good buddy of mine, he calls me. He said, "Hey, listen, man, I want to take you and Adrian, to dinner." He said, "Because, you know, I know we kind of want to help with the church." Now, he said, "Well, now he's not moving with us to Atlanta. He's another guy." He said, "But I just kind of want to help." So me and Adrian talked. We said, "Okay, we'll go to dinner." Okay, maybe they'll give us maybe $500, maybe $1,000, maybe something to be of some support, to show their support. So we were excited about that, because every little bit helped. Every little bit counts, right? You know how you just start stacking your nickels, looking at your stuff, move a little bit here, move a little bit there, you know what I'm saying? Pulling the lint out your pocket, trying to find stuff, finding old jeans with $20 in it. You know, you're doing the best you can, right? So we go to dinner, this wonderful restaurant. We go to dinner, we sit there, it's right in Santa Monica, I believe. We're having dinner, and we have dinner, and we're eating. And so he said, "Oh yeah," as if he forgot, "by the way, I've got a check for you." He slides the check across the table. I look at the check, smile, and pass it to my wife. She grabs the check, puts it down, and I think she immediately started crying. I'm not sure. He puts the check down. The boy had written me a check for $50,000. One check, $50,000. A month or so later, we had an appreciation going away service. After we finished having the service and they had given money, the total amount of the money they had given was around $17,000. Well, the grand total of what I needed when I got in my truck and drove across country was $67,000 to plant the church. Now, when God gave me the vision, I didn't have the money. By the time I got in the car, watch this, by faith, to drive into a place I did not know, every single thing I needed, I had it, even though as a season of space, that it was ugly. And in your life, you're going to find yourself sometimes in ugly stages of in-between, where what God says just doesn't make sense. And people are going to look at you and say, "Why are you doing that? Noah, why are you cutting down so much wood? What are you building? That amount of wood, it doesn't even make sense for this territory." You sensing what I'm saying? And in your life, when you talk about faith that works and walking by faith, you're going to have enough intestinal fortitude to stand on the word of God to do what he says, even when everything looks crazy. Now, you just sense this. Not only was it an interesting space based on the amount of wood, the type of tools, but watch this. I won't read it to you for the sake of time, but there's a point in the scripture with the word of God where God says to Noah, "Okay, the ark is built. I want you to take your family, and I want you to get on the boat." I need you to see this. Now, Noah had been building the ark for 100 years. Right? So 100 years of people looking at him saying, "Noah, you've lost your mind. It's coming a flood. What is a flood? It's going to rain. It ain't never rained." He's building a boat in the middle of a desert. But to make matters worse, God said, God does not send the flood before he sends Noah on the ark. He makes Noah take that long walk onto the ark and stand there, and Noah and his family are in the middle of the desert sitting on a boat. If that's not the longest 7 days of his life, that he's sitting on a boat for 7 days in the desert. You're not hearing what I'm saying. It's like you going outside in the middle of the Sahara Desert and taking an umbrella and just standing in the middle of the Sahara Desert with an umbrella over your head. You look like a fool. And Noah is on a boat. Now, I need you to sense this. Not only is Noah on a boat for 7 days in the middle of a desert, but God only told Noah the information. He didn't tell his family. Oh, Lord. So Sister Noah is on the boat with the kids and the in-laws for 7 days. No rain. First day, Everyone is happy. Everyone's nice. Everyone is all right. Okay, it's going to rain. We believe you, Daddy. Second day, all right. It's not raining yet. It's still a little dry out here, but we believe it. Third day. Now, wait a minute, Noah. Did you hear the Lord right? Fifth day, the kids walk around, Mama, when is it going to rain? We don't. By this time, Sister Noah's sweeping all the mess off the butt. Say, I don't know when it's going to rain. Ask your daddy when it's going to rain. Because at that moment, I just believe that Noah had to be the loneliest man on the planet. Because he knew he heard from God, but no one around him can see what God said. All they see is him doing what God told him to do, but they don't see why God told him to do it. And body of Christ, I know many of you have been in that season where God has called you to do things, to launch out, to step out, to try stuff, and you're doing it, but all you see is the work. You've been trying and toiling. You've been praying and fasting. You've been giving your life to what God said, and ain't nothing changed yet. And it can be the loneliest place in the world to be doing everything you heard God said do, to not have any results of what God said would come if you did what he said to do. But it takes faith to manage that ugly stage of in-between. To be at peace, to be at content, even when things haven't materialized yet, but you know you heard the voice of God. You know God told you to move. You know God told you to stop. You know God told you to go. You know God told you to shift. You know God told you to join this ministry or join this job or take this employment. You know God said it, but nothing seems to be making sense. And everything that God said was going to happen when you did what he said hasn't quite happened yet. And people are saying stuff like, I told you so. I told you that was a bad idea. Told you you shouldn't have gone. People whispering in your family's ear saying, you shouldn't have let your husband make that decision. You shouldn't have let your wife convince you to do that. You sensing what I'm saying? It takes faith to manage that stage. It takes faith to believe God when there's nothing to prove what he said is actually true. And the Spirit of God is calling us to have that type of faith that works. The type of faith to endure in those seasons when nothing seems to be panning out. When nothing seems to be working out, nothing seems to be falling in place, and everything seems to be haywire, but all you've got is the Word of God. Has anybody ever been in that space where all you had was what God said? You have any proof? You can't justify, you can't show anybody. You wish you could, and no one understands, but all you can say is, I know the Lord said it. It takes faith to manage that stage of in-between. Here's the last one, and I'll let you go. The last thing is that it takes faith to leave some stuff behind. Amen. Amen. God was going to close that door whether Noah and his family were on that boat or not. I need you to hear what I'm saying. Heard a great pastor, I can't call his name right now, I can't remember, but he says, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of that opportunity. And God is giving us a window. He's given us a space and time. He's given us an opportunity that if we don't do what he says when he says do it, that if we don't move into what he's called for when he's called us to do it, God will leave us behind. If Noah would have spent the time when God told him to get on that boat, still consoling folk, trying to hold on to folk, trying to convince folk, trying to twist folk on, trying to bring folk along, trying to get people to see his side and come onto his side. And just, if he would have spent that time when God said get on that boat, if he would have not moved when God said move, and spent more time with the folk that he had to leave behind, he would have missed the opportunity that God had given him. And it takes faith to launch out, to step out, and to leave, watch this, some people, some systems, some perspectives, some groups, some traditions, some plans behind. It takes faith to realize that what God is doing now is more important than what God did before. that we can't tie God into a box. We can't tell God to wait. We can't stop his plan, stop his momentum, stop his move. But we have to be willing, when God says go, to close the door on anything that's not going God's way. And it's the hardest thing to do. Now, hear what I'm saying. I don't mean this in some maverick-like, cavalier way, as though we're kind of just flipping our hands at everything behind. That's not what I'm trying to say. This is why it's hard, because it's not. If you were mad at what's behind it, and if you had a, you know, if what was behind was bad, and you know, and you just, you know, that would be easy. But some of us have to leave behind some things that we love, some people that we love, some traditions, some systems, some perspectives that we love. And if you want to walk in faith that works, you have to be willing to say, Lord, whatever is not going your way can't go with me. And that's the hardest thing to do in this life, is to position yourself to be so committed to the plan of God, so committed to what God is saying. And I just sense so strongly that some of you are in an agitated place right now, where you are literally battling within yourself because you've heard God say something. You've heard God thunder something. God has called you to some new idea, some new plan, some new place, some new vision. And there's a part of you that is still tied to where you've been. Tied, but God, I'll lose this if I go. I'll lose that if I go. I can't take them if I go. What about those? And what about that? What about where we've been? And what about? And you're literally in a place where you're having a hard time moving with God and moving with his plan, because there's so much of you that's tied to where you've been, tied to who you've known, tied to what's always happening. God is saying in this hour tonight that he's saying that his plan for you is good, and I know it doesn't make sense and you can't see it and it seems like it's so far-fetched, but if you will commit yourself to walk with God, I promise you he'll make every journey worth it. He'll never make you ashamed. He'll never allow you to be defeated. He'll always raise you up. He'll take it to new places, to new depths, to new heights. If you'll just trust him with your life, trust him with your heart, God is saying, what I have for you is so much greater than where you've been. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear talk you out of the plan of God. Don't let fear convince you that God cannot keep you where he takes you. God is saying to us as a church, God is saying to us as a family of faith, not just the church of God, not just your individual church, but to the body at large, the church at large, God is saying in this hour that we have to move when he's moving. We become so stagnant and stuck. And it's not because, and hear what I'm saying, body of Christ, I don't think it's all malicious. It's not all people trying to be stubborn for stubborn's sake. But I believe many of us have been so tied to things that we've loved. What got us over? What brought us in? What kept us through? And so when God is saying, now I'm going to take you to a new place, you're saying, but Lord, God, but that thing got me over. That thing kept me. That thing, God is saying, yeah, I kept you in the season that I need to keep you with that thing. But where I'm taking you, that won't keep you. Where I'm taking you, yes, I sent you to the brook. I sent you to raven, but the raven and the brook are going to go away. There's a woman that's waiting to bless you, and God is saying, in this hour, you have to have faith to step out, to leap out, to launch out, to go into. It takes faith to do something. I'm tired, my Lord. I'm tired of people and churches and groups just talking about faith for faith's sake. If you aren't doing anything, if nothing's changing, if nothing's happening, hear me, child of God, it is not faith. Whenever there is faith, something happens, something shifts, something changes, lives are altered. A dynamic God has dynamic movement in the earth, and we have to stop being so tied up and tangled up and so fearful to move with God. God is saying, my plan for you is good. I know it's scary. I know it's uncharted territory. I know it's unprecedented, but if you'll just trust me, my God, put your faith in me. Put your hope in me. Put your heart in my hand. I'll never make you ashamed. I'll never let you fall. Where I'm taking you, I can keep you. Is there anybody here that wants to go God's way? Everybody standing. It takes takes faith to be first. It takes faith to launch out into territory that's unprecedented. To build a boat for a flood in the middle of a desert because God told you he was going to send animals to get on the boat. It's the wackiest story on the planet. It makes sense now because we're in the aftermath. Oh yeah, I mean, we tell our children, we raise our kids on this story. Now, it's the greatest story. They're making movies about this. Wonderful now. But imagine how Noah felt before the scene had unfolded and the plan had been unpacked when there were no animals. There was no water. There was no flood. There was no widespread revelation of the voice of God in the earth at that time. There weren't preachers everywhere and prophets everywhere just prophesying and preaching. It wasn't all that stuff. It was a man, a humble man, who said, God said. People are like, what are you talking about? And many of us haven't had our story written yet. It's not finished yet. We don't have the aftermath yet. We don't get to sit back and laugh at the good old days when we thought it wasn't going to work, but we had near misses and we finally got it done. We don't have that yet. Even with Dr. Price, I remember sitting there, him telling me these stories when he started on in this small church to that church and built the Faith Dome, walked into the Faith Dome debt-free on that building. When it was all said and done, well, yeah, it was great to tell that story. I don't have those stories yet. I don't have those times. I'm at the beginning of what God has shown me and said. And so I'm like, in this context, like Noah. Because I know what God has said, but I don't see anything that God said was going to make what he showed me a reality. And it's hard. And I know in your life, and God has put vision in you. He's put dreams in you. He's shown you things that you don't even talk about it because you think if you were to say what God showed you, people would think you crazy. People right now in this building, God has shown you things. Things about your family, things about your business, things about your loved ones, your community. God has given you vision about your church, and you're afraid to even, some pastors are afraid to even tell other pastors what God has said. Because if I tell these jokers what God showed me, they're going to put me out of this group. And if that's not happening, I pray that it does. I pray that before this weekend is over, I pray that God gives you just unusual vision. I'm just going to, even in my quiet time, I'm going to be praying that God just give you just, I'm just want to give you crazy vision. The type of vision that'll scare you. I want God to just scare you. I want him to tell you stuff about yourself and where he's taking you that just makes you uncomfortable. Then I'm going to pray that the faith of God, faith in God, can sustain you until he brings to pass what he said. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should ever change his mind. Abraham staggered not at the promise because he believed that the one who made it was able also to perform it. Sarah laughed. Zechariah tried to get the angel to prove it. And the angel slapped his mouth shut. Let us not be that way. I pray that as God is unfolding, and not just church vision, but in your personal life, in your finances, in your family, in your businesses, I'm praying for supernatural vision and that you'll have faith to say, Lord, if you said it, I don't see it, but God, if you said it, I'm going to do everything you say to do until I see what you said I'd receive based on what you said. Does anybody receive that tonight? I know you do. Come on, lift your hands. I want to bless this word in you. Eternal God, we're so grateful. We're grateful. Tonight, Lord God, you are reaffirming and confirming things that you spoke to these men and women of God even years ago. In the spirit, I just call back to old vision, Lord God. My God, I just sense so strongly there's some things that you showed these people long time ago that they've forgotten about. It took so long for it to happen that they've forgotten the vision that used to wake them up in the morning. They've forgotten the vision you showed them that would keep them up late at night. They forgot the pads they wrote down what they saw on. They've forgotten the times, Lord God, when they just would sit and listen and in prayer with tears in their eyes, Lord God. They would be amazed and awestruck at all the things you showed them that you would accomplish in their life. But life and time and criticism and unbelief has hampered and has downplayed and diminished, Lord God, their faith. I'm praying that you would reawaken that inside of them. Bring back to the forefront of their mind the vision of their youth, the things you showed them as children, Lord God, the plans you gave them. They abandoned it because they didn't believe, because they were hurt or disappointed, Lord God, that they couldn't hold on. They tried, Lord God, to keep their hands wrapped around the plan, Lord God, but life got to them and things got tough, Lord God, and life began to move so fast they lost their grip on the plan, on the vision you gave them, Lord God. I'm praying, Lord God, that you will reawaken that flame inside of them, give them a new hope, a new confidence, Lord God, that you can do what you said that you would do. Come against every lying spirit. Try to convince them, Lord God, that you won't make good on your promise. But Lord God, I pray that you would fill their hearts with faith. God, in the name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit shake them in the night season, Lord God. Wake them up tonight, Lord God. Begin to input and bring revelation, Lord God, in dreams and in vision, Lord God, that they would begin to launch out in everything you call for them to do, in the name of Jesus. I pray for a fresh wind, fresh touch of your Spirit, fresh revelation, Lord God, and then give them the faith fortitude to stay with it until they see what you said. Stay committed to believe that though they don't have all they need, Lord God, progressively as they walk, at every moment they need what they need, it will meet them there. That you only bless risk. That you assign, Lord God, your favor, you assign your blessing, you assign provision to every step we take. If we don't step, it ain't coming. But every time we take a step in faith, Lord God, that which we need in that moment will arrive at the appointed time, Lord God. We believe it so, and we confess that in Jesus' name. Now bless this word. Let it have found good ground in your people, that at the appointed time it will bring forth much fruit, the type that would remain. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. God bless you.